Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
What's going on, Sports City? Yeah, don't adjust the radio. Your boy's back in the building. I took a week off, had to handle some things, but your boy is back with his hands on the ones and twos, controlling the thing. The caller number is 929-477-2759. Locked and loaded for the next 60-some-odd minutes or so with your boy here from Sports City Chef. For those of you guys who don't know me, I go by my man Sirius, and I don't do this by myself, man. I got my man with me. The villain's in the building. The villain, what's going on, man? Did you miss me? What's up?
No. Please, don't do that. Don't tell the people that lie. Why would the villain miss a joker like? Nah, I'm kidding. It's always good to hear serious jokes. He's like the family member that you can't get rid of, but you know you gotta talk to him because he's family. So you gotta talk to him. So
nah,
what's up,
wow.
Jay? What's going on, man?
Is that how we doing it now? What's up, baby, man? What's up, baby? You know what I'm saying? You know, life is like a box of chocolates, man. And, you know, I step away for a week, come back, and them stupid-ass Giants are still winning ball games. So we'll talk about them in a minute, man. Let me go ahead and get Mr. Harvey in the building. What's going on, Mr. Harvey? How we doing this evening, man?
I'm doing my best to try to help hold the fort down while you were gone last week. I know you checked it out. So, you know, we had villain and controversy here, man. You know, miss for sure, but, you know, we try to do the best we can to maintain it. You know, we can't replace you, man. We can just hope to, like, you know, make you proud. That's
you know what? I
how much did he pay you to say that?
I'll let you know when the check comes.
I wouldn't cash it too quickly, man. That's ain't going to bounce like the New York Knicks. But anyway, with that being said, man, it feels good to be back, man. Thanks so
that's
much
what I'm
for holding
cash
down.
Out this
my, oh, you know, that's a good point. That's a good point. You know, that's why Cash App is going to exist. I don't know if people write checks anymore. With that being said, man, we got a lot to get to, man. And I'm going to start, you know, right where we left off last week. Thursday night, blockbuster hit. Christian McCaffrey was traded to the San Francisco 49ers for literally, they came back with a lot. But I wanted to talk about not so much what, you know, the Panthers got back as far as draft compensation, but what this actually means for the 49ers. On the field on Sundays. And we saw them in a little bit of action this past week when they played the Kansas City Chiefs. We are expecting him to get more acclimated and more involved in the offense this upcoming week. But, Villain, I'll come to you first, man. This happened on Thursday. We were off air on Thursday, so I really didn't get to hear what you and Mr. Harvey thought about it. So, Villain, Christian McCaffrey is now a San Francisco 49er. Tell me how you feel about it.
It was a crazy trade. I mean, you know, you hear a lot of things afterwards, like, you know, there were better deals out there. that could have been had. I think one team, they didn't disclose who it was, but one of them offered, I think, a couple first-rounders. But I think the Rams, it came down to the Rams and the 49ers. I don't even think the Bills got really close as much as they wanted to. So, I mean, it was interesting, though. The 49ers, they had a need at running back. They're starting to get a little healthier. They laid an egg against the Chiefs, but even still, that, you know, once they kind of start moving and integrating him into the offense, I think it's going to be a really good fit. It'll be even better next year once they get their quarterback back. So for this year, I think it's a move that, even though they were 3-3 at the point, 3-4 now, they could still make a really good move in this NFC that's, you know, outside of maybe the Eagles, maybe the Cowboys, is kind of wide open with the Buccaneers, the Rams, and the Packers on a little bit of a down. So I think it's a good push your chips in the middle and see what you got this year.
You know, it's funny, you know, the model for this, you know, kind of stems back to when what the Rams have done a season or two ago, just pushing the chips in the middle, kind of the hell with draft picks, so to speak. Let me go out and try to win the chip now. Basically, it was team second, third, and fourth round pick of 2023 and the fifth round pick of 2024. I mean, essentially, if you're getting to something more higher. But, Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you next. You know, Christian McCaffrey goes to San Fran. He's finally out of your division, but, you know, if you want to get to a Super Bowl, we're going to win the playoffs as a Saints fan, and we'll talk about the Saints fan in a minute. You want to deal with these 49ers, man. Talk to me about how you feel about it.
So I think that this is a good move for both teams involved, I'll be honest with you. The first-round picks, but if you draft right, there's a lot of value to be found in that second, third, fourth, fifth round. You can get guys that can make a difference. You know, I look at this pick and I see, you know, for San Francisco, he obviously becomes the most explosive running back on that team, which it would have gone to some other teams. It wouldn't have broke my heart if it was the Rams in training, like keep future, so you could be a bum team in the future with no draft picks, like another team that plays in L.A. But we'll see. I look at this with San Francisco, and I'm like, okay, he's a great fit for this team if he can stay on the field, right? Like, let's be honest, McCaffrey, a lot of time over the last couple of seasons, you know, when the not first came in the league was that maybe his size and have trouble staying healthy and playing full season. And so, you know, it's my only cautionary thing for San Francisco. I love the potential of the pick. I love what it their backfield, because this is a guy that not only can run the ball, but he can also catch the ball. Multifaceted talent that does a lot of things and has a different gear that a lot of other backs just don't have. So he adds a closeness to that offense. And like you said, maybe even more so. But I do think it's a high risk, a high reward type move for this team. And but when you look at the rest of that division, Stafford's struggling, and apparently, I said last week, I feel like that I don't know what's going on, but he only has eyes for one target for the most part of that passing game. Arizona, now that D-Hop is back, but that is a very, very winnable division. I mean, who would have thought this? As a Seattle Seahawks are sitting in first place in that division after weeks. So anybody can win the division, and all you got to do is win the to have a seat at the table come January, and yeah, anything can happen, right? So I don't blame them for making the move. I see it. I think that they didn't pay an exorbitant price. It ain't like the Saints paid to get Ricky Williams or anything. And they didn't even really lose any first round, so you still kind of keep your ability to rebuild there. And for San Francisco, you know, the reward is obvious if he can stay on the field.
Right. You know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, him staying on the field. You know, a lot of you know, hesitation and cause for pause is that very thing. And I had this argument with a buddy of mine offline right after the trade took place, you know. And at the end of the day, you can't live in constant fear. I mean, at the end of the day, from 2018, 2019, this dude had over 1,000 yards rushing and over, you know, 1,000 yards receiving in 2019. This was 2,000 yards back, you know, and that was in Carolina with no quarterback, hardly any receivers to speak of. And you pair this guy with, you know, a Shanahan offense that, you know, you and I can walk into the building tomorrow and run for 700-800 yards if we pass the cardio test. And those assortment of weapons on the outside, and Ayuk and Debo and whatnot. I don't think injury is going to be an issue. Now, again, a fluke thing can happen. We just lost Bryce Hall for the year, and we'll talk about injuries and news and notes in a minute. But I think this was a great move. I really do. I think this can do nothing but help the 49ers and add longevity to a Christian McCaffrey who, for all intents and purposes, is being ran into the ground. Like, we are seeing the reincarnation of Todd Gurley right before our eyes if he stayed in Carolina. You know, so I think, you know, you can put, you know, Debo in the backfield. You got, you know, Elijah Mitchell that's going to return here in a couple weeks, and you can, you know, spell him, and Jeff Wilson will be back. Like, he doesn't have to get the ball a zillion times, and he's still going to be fresh and ready to go come playoff time. And also, not to mention, financially, I think this is a decent move for all parties. Villain, I'm going to kick it back to you. Anything else you want to add on Christian McCaffrey before we get off that and move on to something else?
No, I mean, I think some people were a little down on his performance, but, I mean, what do you expect after, what, 2 days, barely 2 days of being with the team, and then you're thrust in there? I was surprised he actually played on Sunday against the Chiefs, you know, so, but yeah, I think it's an impactful move. I think going down the line, it's going to be a big move for the 49ers, and it's a good move for the Panthers too. Like, they didn't sell the whole farm. There was guys that they kept, their DN, their receiver, DJ Moore, that they refused to trade, but I think they just put themselves in position to get a quarterback in this draft and kind of build to the future. You know, I think, you know, McCaffrey has handled it well, and I think from both sides it's going to be good.
Definitely, definitely. Call the numbers 929-477-2759. I wanted to talk about news and notes from around the league. Yesterday, a big bomb dropped that James Robinson was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the New York Jets. This is a direct correlation with the injury that I spoke to earlier with Breece Hall, the rookie sensation. That was potentially going to win the Rookie of the Year, tearing his ACL and is going to be gone for the year. Dylan, actually, Mr. Harga, I'll start with you on this particular one. James Robinson to the Jets, you know, and it's going to work in tandem with, you know, Carter there as well. Give me your opinion on this move. And it doesn't look like that the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets, you know, the Jets didn't have to give up a lot to get a guy who could potentially be a Pro Bowl runner that only gave up a 6-round draft pick to get him.
No, so shout out to, you know, the rookie from Iowa State was really, really showing flashes. And today's sports medicine has come a long way that you feel like even coming to ACL that you might still have your explosiveness there. You know what I'm saying? An ACL, you might seem – so, for the kid's sake, that he, and I know that's not what you asked me, so let me get to your question. And I feel like, you know, you look, they still got more in return for him than what they had to give up initially, right? This guy was an undrafted guy out of Illinois State. He did do pretty well for them, but you know, you got Travis and who you drafted high, and Robinson saw the field, quite honestly, was because of getting hurt in the preseason. He did do a nice job there. I'm not sure that he's a prince or anything like that, even though he showed flashes of it last year. And so I think, you know, the Jets have to use a tandem of guys like with Carter and this guy to try to make up for Breece Hall, right? Because of the explosiveness that he, you know, as far as Jacksonville goes, I have AT in there. You are dealing from a position, and I don't know if maybe they just couldn't get anything higher for him. It does seem a little odd give up to only get a six back in return for a guy more flash than that, but at the same time, like, listen, when you're trying to read which they are, you've still got a second-year quarterback, first-year coach, even though he's coached other places, you know, who's still trying to get his system in place, and you're still trying to build a system. And it makes sense to deal from a position of strength, at least get another pick. I would have thought that maybe you could have gotten a fourth or a fifth possibly. So I feel like the price was a little bit low, but I think that this does at least give Jacksonville another pick to try to continue to add what they're trying to build there. And it does at least help going to replace him completely, but it does give them their piece to help kind of offset that tremendous loss of the rookie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit shocked by the move, but before I give my position on this villain, I'll come to you next, man. Jacksonville unloads, you know, a 1,000-yard back and a guy who's been in the building for a while for, you know, a package of Pringles and a Snapple, man. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the Jaguars' perspective, it's a solid deal because Etienne was their future. They wouldn't have drafted him where they drafted him if he wasn't going to be, right? You know, I think he's a year removed from that injury, but he looked pretty good so far this season as a dual threat and actually looked good out of the backfield against the Giants. I watched them, obviously, a full game, and Robinson didn't carry the ball at all because he was complaining of knee soreness. So from the Jaguars' perspective, it's a sixth-round conditional that becomes a fifth round if he gets about 260 yards, which he should be able to do in New York. So that becomes a fifth-round pick for a guy that really wasn't in your future plan. So for them, it's a good move. For the Jets, it's kind of a head-scratcher because, like I said, this guy was complaining of knee soreness, didn't carry the ball at all this past week after he had some plus carries in the first couple weeks of the season. And he's coming off a major injury, right, from last year. So I think it was Achilles, I think it was. He had an Achilles injury. So,
yeah.
I get the urgency to replace, you know, Breece Hall, because he is super talented and listen, the Jets are very reliant on the run game. They're not like they're not trusting Zach Wilson, but it's to the right now they're kind of saying hand the ball off, let's play defense until we can kind of get something going. But I don't know if that was the right answer for them. So they're definitely going to split the carries. They're not asking Robinson to be a workhorse. They're going to split it with Michael Carter, who I think has some talent. And then hopefully Breece, the loss of Hall will be kind of cemented a little bit by Carter and Robinson. So from the Jets' perspective, not in love with the trade for the if they use him right. But from the Jaguars' perspective, I think it's a win-win.
See, here's where – this is why I love you, because I actually disagree with that. And here's why. You know, you go into a situation where each team has a legitimate 1-2 punch, if you will. Like, the good teams that run the ball consistently have a legitimate 1-2 punch. And we've seen what potentially the 1-2 punch in Jacksonville could be with Travis Etienne as well as James Robinson. So – if the situation was, you know what, the Jets come calling because they have a legitimate need to give up pennies on the dollar for a guy who, again, is a formidable running back. This is no scrub. This is not like, you know, them calling us for for you know, Anthony McFarlane or you know, something like that. Like, James Robinson has got it done in this league, and I mean, last year alone he was 1,000 yards back. He was a fantasy league winner. Last year when Travis Etienne blew out his leg in preseason. So for the Jacksonville Jaguars just to get rid of this guy for essentially a fifth-round draft pick is baffling. I think the Jets literally, I mean, you missed 100% of the shots you don't take. I think the Jets made a call. And I think the issue was the fact that James Robinson was disgruntled with his role because Travis Etienne has been balling and he wants more carries. And I think that, you know, the Jets pounced on the opportunity. If I'm, you know, Mr. Khan, who is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Dougie Peterson, I don't let him go for anything less than a three, for threes where I go, because this man has significant value. And what he's done has been on tape. I can't do that.
I disagree with that, Sirius. I don't think he had the value he had 2 years ago because he just blew out his foot, the Achilles injury. He didn't play this week because he had knee problems. He's only had, 80-some-odd carries this year. Most of that's front-loaded. Like, he had 23 the first game, I think about 17 the third week, and his carries have diminished since then. He's not even getting the yards per carry that he's had in the past. I think his value has been dwindling. So I think to get anything for him is a win. And he's a restricted free agent, so they can control him, the Jets can. If they wanted to keep him, the Jaguars, they would have kept him. They got rid of him. I think that tells you what you need to know.
I mean, again, that's kind of my point. Like, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, why get rid of a guy who has gotten it done? Like, I understand you want to play with Travis.
2 years ago,
tour you spent. Well, I mean, he was hurt last year, and this year he showed that he was able to get the job done. Well, 2 years ago he got it done. Last year he was hurt. You can't fault a man for not doing work when he's hurt. And the first part of this year, he was getting it done before the carries diminished because you want to play with your new toy. Like, I get it. This is a Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard argument all over again. You know what I'm saying? When you have two backs that have shown to be able to get it done, the lifespan of a running back in this league is 3 years. So why in the world would you not spell Etienne and do a dual threat type of thing when, again, James Robinson has shown his ability to get it done? Like, and again, you said it in your argument. It's not like he's going to New York and he's going to take all the carries away from Michael Carter. He's going to split carries in New York. So you're the same damn thing that you were doing in New York. I mean, that you were doing in Jacksonville in New York. So essentially, the trade makes no sense because it's not like he's going to be a bell cow in New York. They're going to do the same thing.
You're not asking him to. He's only topped 100 yards once this season, Sirius. I mean, I'm not downgrading Robinson. I think he's talented. I think he came out of nowhere for Jacksonville 2 years ago. But he's clearly not in their plans, and I just really don't think that if they valued him, he'd still be on that team.
I think the Jags feel like that he reached his ceiling 2 years ago. And he's been banged up and stuff since, but I think they feel like he reached his ceiling. I think they feel like out of him, that he's going to give him the pros, and maybe he proves, and maybe he ends up like coming close to production level again. But I think the Jags felt like that he's not the same guy that he was a couple years ago. He was more of a flash in the pan, a flash in the pan, and a one-year wonder, so to speak. I don't know that they believe that he can replicate. And so if he can't, maybe they felt like the most, you know, that was all they could get. But I don't know about a three. I would say maybe. I don't know about a three, but maybe.
I will say this, though. I mean, all things considered, James Robinson, as well as Travis Etienne, if you will, were held over from the last regime. Those are the guys that, you know, Dungy Peterson didn't draft, either one of those guys. And if you know anything about Dungy Peterson, he loves those multi-purpose scat back types. And, you know, that's essentially what James Robinson is. Travis Etienne is. So, I mean, it baffled me when I saw that that's all the Jets were needed to give up to get him. And staying right there in New York, man, Elijah Mitchell is another guy who has requested a trade and now is going to show
up and play.
Elijah Moore. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore, you know, is a guy who wanted to trade and now he's going to show back up and he's welcome back in the building. He was asked to go home and he's away from the team last week at like, what is going on with Elijah Moore? And, you know, Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you first. Do you think he gets dealt before next Tuesday's deadline, or is he going to spend the rest of the season in New York trying to work that relationship out?
So, I think Jacksonville knew that they need to stick with a Louisiana boy running back. So that's shout out to the home state. With Elijah Moore, though, like, you know,
right?
I, and I'm like, you know, he had a lot of talent coming out of college. I don't know if a little bit of that in the pros, but he's enough. A little bit of trouble staying on the field. And, you don't know. Maybe part of it have been even agents reaching out and being like, yo, I haven't done enough right now that there's not really that much of a demand for you. So they might not look to trade you kind of thing. So, I think we'll see. And if so, what kind of production do we get? Do they a little bit? Not to take away from their system, but if they believe he can produce for them, and does that give them the ability to possibly move him? The kid is much of a potential. I would like to see him work things out and stay in New York, but just not knowing all particulars about it, you know, this is one of those things, right? Like, not knowing the exact how he handled it or what was said in those altercations and what that welcome back was to in the bill back this week. You know, how's he looking in practice? I think the Jets are willing to, you know, they're willing to move him to take her, and it benefits them, but I just don't know if you'll find. I think this is still kind of to be decided.
Oh, there's nothing to decide.
Yeah.
Mike, I'll tell you, I live out here. I'll live out his jersey. I'll tell you, they are not trading him. They sent him home because of his mental state, but they are not trading him. Zala said they're not trading him. Joe Douglas said they're not trading him. They have no plans of trading him. They will answer the phone to do their due diligence. The Packers should be the first team to call for him, but they are not trading him.
Oh, fine.
This is a case. Say again, Mike.
No, that's a fact. A possible trade partner. I thought Packers should be the call.
They should be calling, but the Jets are not trading. Listen. Elijah Moore needs to grow up. He needs to grow up. Okay? This is what happens when a player doesn't get the rock, and then you look like a fool because the Jets are 5-2 right now. They're 5-2. What are they doing wrong? They're winning games. When you were losing games, you were getting the ball all the time. It was all good because you were getting yours. It's about you getting yours. That's all you're concerned about. It's nothing else. His targets has diminished, but his importance to the offense hasn't. It's the same offense from last year where he was getting his touches. This is what's happening. Garrett Wilson is better than you. He's that guy. He's a 10th overall pick. He's more talented. You're getting slotted back to a number two. Okay, you can't handle it because you're not getting the same targets you were getting last year. But guess what? This team isn't – it's the same offense, but they're not the same offense as from the perspective they're running the ball more. they're having more success running the ball, so those targets are going down. But you're still getting the same share, pretty much. But you saw Garrett Wilson go off and have that monster game in Cleveland, and you're like, where's mine? This is about you wanting to get a bigger contract eventually. So you want to be the number one, and you're not the number one right now. Garrett Wilson's that dude. He's that dude. If you watch him, he's super talented. And he needs to grow up and understand I can have just as much value being a solid number two, a really good number two, instead of chasing the ring and being somebody's number one, okay? I'm not saying he can't be a number one, but you can be a really good, really well-paid number two here and still get yours. Grow up, kid. This team is winning, and you're pouting, you're disgruntled. Don't make any sense, man. It's about you, and it's not. It's about the team.
End of the day.
It's about the team.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You're serious, my bad. But I 100% agree. The kid needs to grow up. He went to Ole Miss, so what do we expect? You want your receivers to have a little bad dog in them. I want the ball. Like all the great ones are have a little bit of that in them. But at the same time, not to the detriment of the team. And we talk about we talk about how short the shelf life can be for NFL players. So never blame a guy for trying to get his bag and wanting to see more targets so he can, get a better payday in the future. But at the same time, you still don't want to be careful. You don't want to get that label of being a detriment or a cancer on the team.
What bag?
Right.
You're in your second year, dude. And you're not even talking about I want to be more involved. Give me the damn ball like Keyshawn. You're talking about trade me. Just trade me. Grow up, kid. Grow up.
Okay. So check this out. So I, as you guys know, I'm a stat guy. I'm a numbers guy. Through 8 weeks of the year, he didn't address it all last week. So through 7 weeks of production playing, he's had 30 targets. 30. He's only caught 16 of them. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like you're not getting targets. It's not like they're not, Zach Wilson and the quarterback is not looking your way. You're just not doing anything when the ball comes your way. At the end of the day, here's the thing. I agree with you both. You know what I'm saying? I think we live in this dispensation where, if players open their mouth long enough and loud enough that they get what they want, and when my kid used to do that when he was a baby, he used to put a pacifier in his mouth and tell him to shut the hell up, And I think at the end of the day, Robert Saleh and the New York Jets are doing the same thing. Like, shut up. Like, you're not going anywhere. And Barry, you alluded to it when you spoke a minute ago. You out in the area. They ain't going to trade him. They're not going to trade him. Now, again, do your due diligence, Green Bay Packers, pick up your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the Packers here in a minute. But Elijah Moore is going to be in New York at least through the duration of this year. I don't foresee him going anywhere anytime soon. Call the numbers 929-477-2759. One more thing I wanted to get to before we started talking about the week that was as you all know, man, there's a guy that shares the same name as me. I had the unique pleasure of watching him play this past weekend in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, as the Green Bay Packers lost to the Washington Commanders. And on his weekly show with Mr. Pat McAfee, he said, and I quote, "Guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't be playing." My question, Mr. Rogers, does that mean you're going to sit yourself down? I mean, because if we went with that mindset, I watched you up close and personal on Sunday. There was a lot of throws that you skipped to receivers. Now, you don't have the best group of receivers, but, you're trying to throw off your back foot. You're trying to do hero stuff and you're trying to do stuff that isn't getting it done. Like, Devontae Adams isn't coming through that door anytime soon. Now, you do need to pick up the phone and make some phone calls and see if you can get, you know, Claypool, DJ Moore, you know, Elijah Moore, whomever else you want to call, Ghostbusters, if you will. But at the end of the day, you can't be skipping balls to receivers. You can't make a statement like this and put on the game tape and you play like you've been playing the past 3 weeks. If I can go back to the New York Giant football game, you wasn't playing well. I can go back to the New York Jet game, you wasn't playing well. So, again, villain, I'll come to you, man. Like, Aaron Rodgers literally talking out of the side of his neck. Give me a position on that comment and the Green Bay Packers as a whole.
I mean, you know, he's selfish. He's always been selfish, and he continues to be selfish. I mean, and he's not wrong, like, they, you know, but it's like he only gets on the podcast and talks about, like, well, I'm good. I got it. I. Dude is selfish and thinks about it's only about him and what he's done and what he needs to do, and I'll be fine. You know, I'll figure it out. Pause. I mean, listen, LaFleur has won, what, went to NFC Championship games, you know, has a stellar record with Aaron Rodgers. He needs to figure it out. Like, it's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks of this crap against the Jets, the Giants, and the Commanders. And you should have lost the week before that against New England. He needs to figure it out. Like, you need to get this offensive line. I think they've scored less than 20 points in those 4 games. 18 points, I think it is, per game. That's ridiculous. I mean, you if you're such a good coach, you need to figure it out. But, like, I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. It's always been about him. I mean, even with the contract stuff, what, you know, like, bringing him back, or I'll do what's best for me and all that stuff. Off season, doing Jeopardy instead of doing off season workouts with these new receivers. It ain't easy being a receiver for Aaron Rodgers. You know, he throws balls and puts it in places where you're covered, but he can throw you open, and that's not easy to adjust to. You know, and he didn't play in the preseason. Why? Like, it's just like it's. Selfish. He's selfish, serious.
You know what? I here's the thing. Like, I've been a diva, ball player, diva musician, for a while, and you know, I had to get humbled. And here's the thing. Like, we are seeing, in my opinion, and Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you in a minute. We are seeing a changing of the guard, if you will. You know, these quarterbacks who can say what they want in the media and not back it up. We are seeing kind of the old regime, if you will, kind of, you know, that clip that, you know, Kellerman talks about. We are seeing it come to fruition right now with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. And, I mean, these guys who are MVPs and, you know, won Super Bowls and played in Super Bowls are literally falling off a cliff right before our eyes. I mean, Mr. Harvey, I'll come to you. You can kind of, you know, go on any of the quarterbacks I just mentioned or name your own, if you will. Like Aaron Rodgers, you know, popping off the mouth at his teammates, you know, when essentially he's playing as bad as they are, man. Give me a position on that.
So, you asked for this, dog. Listen, you held out for all this. You wanted this huge, huge contract. You got it. You wanted Randall Cobb. You got him. You got receivers that still young, half size, have not really quite learned to get separation. But you had to know that, like, once Devontae was gone, that there was going to be a learning for a bunch of young receivers. I don't care who your quarterback is. You can't just put people out there without developing time and yeah, you cannot defend receivers the same way you used to, but at the same time, it's still a happening thing, and it's still a where they want the ball, or what spots are they best at catching it, or how are they going to handle this, need to know, okay, well, I know he's going to put this ball on me, on this side when I'm running this route kind of thing. Or, if I'm in this position with a guy here, he's going to put this low instead of up high. So maybe I'm the only one that can make the catch or whatever. It comes with time and experience. And you have to understand that when you have too much at the wide receiver position and your wide receivers are this thing, it's going to take some time and some adjustment. And so coming out and people out and all this kind of stuff, doing anything to ingratiate yourself with your, it's interesting because I don't know that, you mentioned Russell Wilson. I feel like he is kind of, to an extent, maybe a product of a bad coach trying to force a square peg into a round hole into his system. I think he's still got enough youth and whatever. You hope he does for the sake of Denver franchise when you look at the guaranteed money they just gave him. But I feel like in some ways Brady and Rodgers, we're starting to see the beginning of the end for these guys. Eventually, when a dog gets old enough, it gets put out. I think that's what you're starting to see with 12. Listen, it was a bad day for veteran quarterbacks wearing the number 12 this past Sunday. And then you look at Matt Ryan, it's funny what it's for, right? Like, he looked really pretty good against Jacksonville, and they were gloating about broadcasters on the feed. The little bit that I heard on the Red Zone channel was starting on and on and on about the dynamic that Frank Reich and Matt Ryan built together, and how Matt Ryan was so excited to have an offensive-minded coach first time in his career, and how that relationship was really taking off and really starting to – and all of a sudden, now he can't hold on to the ball. And it's really interesting that – and justifiably so. We all ripped Carson Wentz and hit here at the quarterback position for this Colts team. Matt Ryan and 7 with the number of interceptions that Carson Wentz threw all last season.
It's funny you mentioned that. I think I said this in our group thread. Like, Carson Wentz caught a lot of backlash and a lot of heat because of what took place in Indianapolis a season ago. Now, again, I'm not coming to the defense of Carson Wentz because, again, he is what he is. But I don't think the culture there is really good. I really don't. I think this is going to be the third quarterback under center in a calendar year when Sam plays, obviously, the Commanders, on Sunday. And the fact that this was an Ursay move, this wasn't a head coaching move. I do believe that Ursay made the call, hey, get him out of there. We're done with him, which leaves the question, okay, obviously there's going to be an issue there. Are they looking for quarterback next year? I don't think Sam Ellinger is the guy, but who knows what goes on, who's going to go on there. Call the number is 929-477-2759. I said what?
The Colts have to quit trying to bargain basement shop. Listen, you go get Phillip Rivers, who just played for a year. You go get Carson, who's clearly damaged goods. And now you go get Matt Ryan, who's at the very end of his. Listen, they're trying to get Louis Vuitton quality at Target. And Louis Vuitton isn't a great quality, but you get my point. But they
don't have a plan. They don't. They really don't. I agree with you there, Zellman. They don't
have a plan. In the
bargain
basement shop. Try to
elaborate on that.
Yeah, they're trying to bargain basement since they don't necessarily have a plan. And it's crazy to say this, but Titans have better plans at the and have better plans at the quarterback than the Indianapolis Colts, right? Because they at least got a guy who was 30. And we can rag on Tannehill all we want about how not great he is and whatever else, but you could argue more productive in Tennessee than any of the quarterbacks in Indianapolis has run through there the last few. And then you and now they drafted a guy they're going to develop. And this is your division foe. And now you look, and now Jacksonville's got a franchise guy as well. And we don't know what Davis Mills is yet. And Houston's even going to do moving forward anywhere. So that's the only team in that division that you kind of maybe compare favorably with the quarterback position. But this is the most important position on the football field. And so can't keep bargain basement shopping. You can't keep trying to put a piece of tape over a person. You got to actually do something to really try to fix it. And so it makes me wonder if Ellinger struggles, do they go back to Ryan? Do you, as long as you can, even if you suck, so maybe you can get into sweepstakes for a good quarterback? Yeah, but like, listen, if Ellinger gets hurt, you'll see Ryan back on the field.
Well, I don't know if you can. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, look at my situation in Pittsburgh. And again, Villain, I'll come to you in a minute. Like, unless – Kenny Pickett gets hurt, there is no way in the world that we can go backwards to Mitchell Trubisky. And the same situation is going to be here. Like, and unless I just don't see it, man. Villain, I'll come to you, man.
They're not going
back to Matt Ryan. They said that he's the quarterback for the rest of the year. Matt Ryan's career is essentially over, unless he wants to be a backup. They basically Frank Reich.
Definition.
I talked to. Say it again, Mike.
They're tanking because I don't believe they think Ellinger is their franchise guy. They're going to give him a look, but otherwise they're tanking.
No, you can't be tanking. The guy is leading the league in turnovers. He's got 12 turnovers right now. He's averaging 2 a game, interceptions and fumbles combined. The offense is going nowhere. I talked to a Colts fan not too long, like a couple hours ago, and he's excited to have a new quarterback in there. I was like, I haven't seen this guy play, but he's like, you know, he's mobile. He moves, you can move the pocket with him. Ryan's a sit and target. They haven't run the ball with Taylor, who's supposed to be the best running back in the league, arguably. They haven't blocked well up front. They're getting exposed with Ryan because he's not mobile enough, but the line isn't blocking. This was supposed to be a strength of the team with Nelson and company. They're not getting it done. The defense isn't playing up to par. I think Frank Reich's job is on the line. We said it a couple weeks ago, but I think he's trying to save his season. But honestly, the problem is this franchise has not come up with a plan ever since the devastating bombshell of news that Andrew Luck said, I'm retiring. And that was years ago. They still haven't come up with a plan for that. They still haven't figured out what we need to do. You know, and part of that is their placement in the draft. They haven't been able to get to that point where there's a good quarterback for them to draft. I can understand that last year, but they still haven't figured that out. Losing Andrew Luck put a monkey wrench in their plans because this is a guy that should have been the quarterback for at least 15 years, and it got stopped short. And not to blame Andrew Luck. He needed to do what was right for him, health-wise and all. But, yeah, they could be, quote-unquote, tanking, but they're 3-3-1. They're right there in their division. They can make the playoffs if they get hot and get on a run. But they need to figure it out. They need to draft the quarterback. They need to develop a new one and get going because whatever they're doing is not working.
Real quick, I want to take you back to 1995, and I want to take you Friday. And Smokey told Craig, and I never got two things that match. And that's kind of what's going on with this Colts franchise. You had your franchise quarterback, but you didn't have a good offensive line. And so you got him killed. He took so many hits, he had to get out of the game. And now you find together, and you don't have a quarterback. You got ham, no burger. You know what I'm saying? Hey, no sugar. That's what's going on here.
I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, I can't. It's weird because for me, Indianapolis Colts, like Barry alluded to, have been literally searching for this guy since Andrew Luck retired. And again, I hate this whole mantra where you suck for the first round draft pick or tank or whatever the case may be. I don't think that's good for the game. I don't think that sends the right message to the organization and your fan base. You know, I don't like that at all. But essentially, that's probably what's going to be the situation going forward. I don't foresee the Indianapolis Colts being favored in too many more matchups. So that begs the question, you know, how long do you keep running Jonathan Taylor out there? How long do you keep running Michael Pittman out there? If you're going to treat this season as essentially an exhibition and essentially a tryout, you know, do you keep running, you know, your quintessential stars out there, the cornerstone of your franchise, you know, out there, you know, who's dealing with injuries himself? Like Jonathan Taylor missed a couple games due to high ankle sprains and things of that nature. I don't know what's going on there, man, but it's comical. And it's damn right laughable to think about, man. Call the number 929-477-2759. I've waited long enough.
You better keep
to talk about.
There.
I mean, we all got him in fantasy. I'm not going to grind. Like, I need Pittman to get some to stay getting targets. And right now, I don't even know what to do with that guy because I'm not too sure what this new quarterback's going to do as far as feeding the ball, but. I got options. Well, you know what I'm saying? When you're in 10 leagues, you know what I'm saying? You got options. You got options. With that being said, I wanted to talk about the week that was. You know, Mr. Harvey, I'm going to start with you, man. What in the world happened in the toaster oven, man? I don't even know how to, bring this to you, man. I mean, everybody's going to talk about the interceptions Andy Dalton threw, and I think one of them wasn't his fault. It went off the receiver's hand, but it looked like you guys completely abandoned the running game and the game plan, so to speak. So, but I'm going to give you the floor. Let's, you know, talk your stuff, man. Let me know how you feel about it.
So the red rifle pulled a Plaxico burst and he shot himself. I mean, listen, that's basically what happened. You give up 14 points at the end of the half. You're about to go in, you know, right there in the game, and then you just, you know, you give away here, take the ball. The one interception, like you said, was not his fault. The second one clearly was. And you're trying to force the action, and they lose the game by 8, and you gave up 14. So. Did they abandon the running game? Yes. But you still put up 34 points on the road, which should be enough to win. You gave up 14 in the second half, which, I mean, but you gave up 28 in the first because of those 14 right at the end of the quarter. The other thing is you got to get Marshon Lattimore back. You got to get, you know, you cannot expect to cover or at least you're not going to be able to stop DeAndre Hopkins when he's on the field anyway, but you can't hope to contain him without your best corner guy. He's had injuries and whatever else. This franchise is 2-5. It's the lowest record, you know, the slowest start they've had. They had one bad year in 12, you know, after Bounty Gate when Sean Payton was replaced, you know, suspended for a year. And then this is the only time they've been the last time they were 2-5 was in 2005. That was the Katrina year when everything was just a wreck. And before they ran Jim Haslett out of town. But I will say this, man, it's not all dark and, you know, it's not all dark and gloomy. It looks bad. Listen, if you had asked me to give you my take Sunday, I would have had a completely different take. I went in on this a little bit on the brunch with the Timeless Sunday Morning Brunch, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, shameless plug. Come check us out. But this team is in the top 5 in the league right now. In yardage. So the offense is still moving the ball. They've upgraded the wide receiver position. You know, I've seen on some different message boards and different things, people saying tear it down. Listen, that ain't sexy. Don't do that. They got a lot of talent on this football team still. You can't completely just tear it down and try to rebuild. Everybody tries it. Very few succeed at it. And then you, like, get lost in the doldrums for years and you're never relevant. So you got to hang on to a lot of this talent. Maybe you make a couple of moves to try to, you know, improve your franchise. But There's a lot of talent on this team. They need a trigger man. They got to get their secondary pieces back healthy. Now, if I were going to make some changes, if we don't see improvements over the rest of this year, then maybe you don't stick with Dennis Allen more than a year. Maybe you look at your medical staff and other things that are going on with this team and figure out, because we've had a lot more, I feel like, injuries than the average team out there. You don't get hurt playing football, anybody is, but I'm just questioning some of the personnel decisions and or how these guys are being treated, because we're having a hard time keeping some of our best guys on the field. So I do question that. But at the end of the day, there's still a lot of talent on this football team. And as bad as it looks at 2-5, at the end of the day, we're one game out and we still got all of our division opponents in front of us one more time. So we got to find a way to get a few wins and get back on the board. All is not lost yet, though it could be very, very soon. We are still kind of hanging on by fingernails, and those are starting to break off. So, listen, it's not the brightest of times in Houdat Nation, bro, but we still gonna ride with the black and gold.
So here's my take on it. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't there on Sunday with you and Thomas. So I would love to hear your take on it, you know, at that moment. But with that being said, I think you guys have a major issue on your hands. I think that Andy Dalton served a purpose. I think that we know what Andy Dalton is. You know, he's going to throw that rock really, pretty well, but he's going to turn the ball over. But essentially, you got the same issue, the same guy in Jameis Winston. Like, Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston are the same guy, just different races, in my opinion. So we have to figure out what's going on there and abandon the run a whole lot sooner than I would have liked. I felt that, you know, Alvin Kamara is a talent, you know, next to no one, and I felt as though, you know, he was able to maneuver the ball and do some things. I just didn't think that you guys kept giving him the ball.
Even Ingram was gashing him.
My point exactly. So I think you guys abandoned the run and decided to try to clean the ball over the yard. The first part of that game, your defense stepped up, you know, held them to field goals and kept you guys in the damn game. I just feel like the score, in my opinion, really was not indicative on how close that game was. I just really felt as though the Saints had the game, you know. Now, granted, two turnovers in a matter of 14 seconds doesn't help your cause at all.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I really felt as though, you know, you guys are right there with it. Villain, I'll come to you, man. The Thursday night game last week, I know you probably had a look at it, man. Tell me what you feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same thing you guys echoed. Like, they were gashing with the run, but they just consistently wanted to put it in Andy Dalton's hands and try to win that game, which didn't make any sense. I got to give the Cardinals a little credit. They looked pretty good with Hopkins back, which I kind of debated on how that would look if he's going to save the season. But still, Kingsbury is a – you know, I just still think until you prove it, you're on the hot seat. I just don't really think you should be the coach. But I think the Saints are in a little bit of trouble right now, just because not this season, because they're only one game back, right? The Buccaneers, they're in worse trouble, and their schedule does not look promising coming up, right? They got the Cowboys, they got the Ravens this week, the Cowboys. They got some tough games coming up. But they have Buffalo, right? Ravens, Buffalo. They got a tough stretch of games coming up. They could conceivably lose the next three games. So if the Saints are to make a move, they got to do it now. I think their problem in long term is they don't have an answer at quarterback. I really don't think Jameis Winston is the answer, not because he can't play quarterback, but because he can't stay on the field. They have to look at.
Now, to your point, when you don't just cover people and you know that you've got a team that wants to throw the ball over the yard. Don't try to do what they – you just said it. Serious, man, run the ball. Like, try to – that a little bit as far as controlling the ball and that kind of thing. I will say the Saints have not stretched for a quarterback. If you look at where they've drafted the last few years, there really hasn't been a guy that super impressed them. The one guy that they were going to draft, Andy Reid jumped over them and traded places with Cincinnati to get up and get him because they were going to draft him, even though Brees was still looked like he had a couple years left. And they told Drew Brees, but Andy Reid outsmarted him and got his guy. And so, you know, maybe this is the year. If they don't rebound, maybe they can draft, get a guy. But you're right. I mean, the Saints have a problem that a lot of teams answered the quarterback position yet, and it's hard to win this league when you don't.
I actually agree with you both about that. Next game I wanted to talk about, unfortunately, is the next one on my list. The New York Giants once again hold on and get a win, beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. Villain, talk to me, man. Like, what in the world is going on in Big Blue?
They have the coach of the year. That's the difference. I know a lot of Giants fans, obviously, and, you know, we talk during the game, before the game, after the game. The difference is last year, when the Giants were absolutely putrid, after every loss, namely one loss that sticks out is when they got bludgeoned by the Chargers in L.A., Joe Judge, after the game, would sit up there and tell you all the things that they did great, everything that they did well, everything that they're either improving upon or just it was like, you know, a pocket full of sunshine on a cloudy day, okay? And after a 6-1 record, after a big win on the road as underdogs, Brian Daboll, who we affectionately call Dabs, is talking about Saquon Barkley should have got out of bounds. That's a bad play. It shouldn't have got to this point. It shouldn't have came to the last play. Everything that we did wrong that needs to be corrected. That's why the Giants are 6-1 right now, because this coach gets it. And it's not like I'm the genius. I know what I'm doing. Daboll has figured out how to make Daniel Jones look like an NFL quarterback. I think everybody forgot John Mara and Steve Tisch, the owners of the Giants, came out and said, after year four of Daniel Jones, we have done everything possible to screw this kid up. Everything possible to screw Daniel Jones up. Daboll did wonders with Josh Allen. He's doing with Daniel Jones. What is he doing? Making the game easier for him, giving him easy throws, putting him in position to make plays with his legs, with his arm. I mean, he may not have a lot of – I mean, if he had receivers that could catch the ball, he'd have more than 200 yards throwing the last game. But he accounted for 300-plus yards because of the run game, his ability to run. He had over 100 yards rushing and his passing. That's the difference. That's the difference. The defense was bending all game, but they made plays. They got the big turnover near the goal line. In the first half, the big play at the goal line to stop it. I mean, it shouldn't have got to that point. Saquon needed to get out of bounds, but you could see them beating up on them in the fourth quarter, leaning on them, getting the lead back. The Giants are winning close games that they had no business winning last year. That's the difference, because they got a coach. That Wink Martindale, I said it, the best offseason acquisition of the offseason for the Giants was Wink Martindale. Not any player. All the Giants need to do now, hopefully, Judy, if you're ready, if you're available in Denver, come to New York, because we need a receiver that can catch the ball. But other than that, this Giants team has a tough game against Seattle. Giants could be looking at that, then looking at Tennessee, at the Titans. Giants could be 8-1, 9-1, going into some tough game. Listen, it's about the coaching. That's why your Steelers always are in games and haven't had a losing record under Tomlin, because Tomlin is that dude. He gets you a couple wins. Dable is doing that in New York. Point blank, period.
You know, it's funny you mentioned. You know, it's funny you mentioned coaching and whatnot, because for me, you know, I'm watching the All 22. You know, I didn't get the chance to watch that game, so I'm sitting there watching the All 22, and I'm like, listen, these are games that the New York Giants would find ways to lose. Like, they would just invent ways to lose these ball games. And as much as I want to sit here and dog you on the thread or whatever, the way you guys are winning is just gritty. It's just gritty. Like the stop there on the goal line. Like, y'all don't make that play a year ago.
Y'all
don't make
they're
that
not even
play.
In the right position to make that play.
It's wild watching it, you know. And again, I sat there and said, during the preseason prediction joint, the Giants can be a sleepy, very, very sleepy, sneaky team.
I said it because you did.
I went through the schedule and I just fully felt as though, you know, Brian Dable is that dude. I liked it in Buffalo. And right now he's playing some, you know, he's coaching some excellent ball, for the Giants. You know, Mr. Harvey, talk to me about the New York Football Giants, and then we'll go ahead and clean it up here in a minute while I get ready to record finger food. But go ahead and talk to me about the Giants, man. What would you see in that ball game on Sunday?
So Barry just hit on a thing that I really like and agree with, and that is you're making the game easy for him. He did for Daniel Jones. He did that for Josh Allen. And here's the thing. That is how you develop a quarterback. You know, it gets taken as an insult if you say simplify it. But at the same thing, though, there's a big jump. This isn't Duke anymore, right? Like, you're not playing for David Cutcliffe. You're not at Duke. So this is a different level. You got different athletes and different windows to throw the ball into. So we make the game simple. We make it to where, you know, there's some pretty easy throws, and you get this figured out. And here's the thing. When you develop this guy, then you can then continue to add more and more to his plate. And so now the question with Josh Allen when he first came to the league was, he's got a strong arm, but can he put it all together? His first year, it looked a little dicey. He could run, but we weren't sure about him throwing the ball. And then you look around the next year, he messes around, has a career year, and then everybody's saying, well, I don't know if he can match that. And then last year, it might not have been exact, but he showed you that the previous year wasn't a fluke. And now, if you stop and look at it, Josh Allen is in the very short conversation. There's a couple more names to throw in there. But Josh Allen is in the short conversation of, or in this, you know, one of the few answers that's a valid answer to who's the best quarterback in this league right now, right? For that simple reason, if you slow down, he picks up that once he gets those concepts down, then you can add a little more and a little more and a little more, and you can continue to build. And then, if you do it right, at the end of the day, you can have a completely developed quarterback who can handle anything you want to throw at him, right? So he's doing it the right way, and it's funny because he did a great job in Buffalo, but you guys know where he was before he went to Buffalo. He was the coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide also. So he spent some time learning under Nick Saban as well. And when you said after games, he's pointing to things that were – done wrong, even in wins, that's straight out of the Nick Saban book, right? Like,
absolutely.
That's exactly what you see from him. And so what you're seeing is a coach that is demanding excellence from his players. And at the end of the day, he's not letting a win mask their shortcomings, and he's still working on them, and he's making sure that he is not only in practice but even publicly holding people accountable in a professional way, because he's not attacking them personally. He's just saying these are things we could have done better, and he's showing you in and out of practice, in front of the media, and I'm sure behind closed doors, that he is going to hold his team and his roster to a standard of excellence, and when it is not achieved, he's going to let you know about it, and that's what great coaches do. And I told you guys, Sports City, last Sunday morning, when Timeless and I predict these games, I said the Giants are going to win, and we're going to have to hear Barry excited about 6-1, Sports City. There you go. I delivered in 20
I want to double-click on that real quick, because think about it, man. Like, Daniel Jones is playing himself into at least a compensation – or not a compensation – what do they call it? Not a franchise tag, a transition tag, where he can get at least $20 million for a year or two and then, you know, maybe get the big payday. Like, honestly, look at what happened Monday night, right? It took them a year and a half to figure out, maybe I need to run the ball with Justin Fields a little bit and how we need to use this quarterback. Dable did it in an offseason. That's a smart coach. Like, you're right. They're putting him in a position where he does, not that he can't do it, but you know what? I'm going to work with what you can do good. This is what you can do well. Rollouts, you got good leg awareness in the pocket. You can run the football, and I can set up little screen routes and all this stuff, pick routes over the outside and over the middle, RPOs. Here's what I can do to make you better. And then you start building on it. Like, I keep thinking I'm going to wake up from this dream, and I look, and it's, oh, we're 1-6. You know what I mean? Seriously, because it's like, I thought I was right about Judge, and I was totally wrong, and he fooled us off. But I knew Dable was going to be a good coach. I knew he was going to be a good coach, but I didn't think he's going to be this damn good. Like, oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a culture. It's just the culture, Sirius. Like, you know, it's not that fake, like, I know what I'm doing, don't worry about it. That works for Belichick. That don't work when you ain't won nothing. Listen, Dable knows what he's doing. He's a smart coach, and he's got that team believing. He puts them in the right position to win the game, just like you said, Sirius. That's why they're 6-1. And I'm glad we are the underdog in Seattle. My Seattle friends are already texting me. Listen, you come get that L? Okay. We'll see. Roll the underdog? Fine. Doubt us if you want. I love being the underdog. I'm going to take the points. +3.5, +2.5. I don't care what it is. I'll take the points. It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be good, man. Calling number, man, 929-477-2759, man. We wanted to thank you guys for coming out and kicking it with us, man. Mr. Harvey, go ahead and give us a plug and a close out as we get out of here, my man.
All right, so I'm going to try to save some stuff for Barry so he doesn't yell at me. Sports City, he abuses me.
No, do your thing.
I get everything in my clothes. So I'm going to try to save a few things. No, but listen, shout out to PHI Apparel. Phillies are going to the World Series. You got the Flyers and the Sixers, you know, starting their seasons up. Eagles, you know, last undefeated team in football. So everything's booming right now for these Philadelphia teams. So represent, man. And if you don't want to represent yourself, then we all know somebody that's a Philly fan somewhere. So listen, Christmas is coming up, bro. PHIapparel.co. Use the code Chefs at checkout, get 15% off. So do that. SportsCityChefs.com. Got blogs, got articles, got finger foods, man. All this kind of stuff. Villain and Sirius and guys putting in work, man. So get over there and check out what we got on the website. Check us out. Make sure you follow us, like, and subscribe, man. You can also listen to us on Amazon, all your smart speakers. And, you know, subscribe to the podcast. Man, we always got episodes. We got at least three every week. Crossover Cafe is coming back real soon. Guys, NFL Free-for-All this one on Tuesday night. It's a caller's cookout. Thomas versus the Villain, where good always wins on Wednesday nights. That one and this one both are at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the time of Sunday morning brunch. Hop over to Clubhouse. Check us out, man. We got a good family. We got a good environment. I can't always say family environment, but we got a good environment going on over there. Come check us out. We always have live watch-alongs in college football, NFL, primetime games, whatever. So come check out what we're doing over there. Be part of the Barbershop family. 14,000 strong and growing, man. So some cool things going on there. So be part of that community. Even if you only pop in from time to time, if you're going from point A to point B during the day, if there's anything important that happened in the world of sports, odds are we're going to update in the shop. Now, we do have some crazy titles sometimes that pop up in the room. You know, we got a couple guys that like to sort of troll other teams and that kind of stuff. But listen, if you see the room, you know, up, don't think that that's the only topic that's being talked about. There's always a lot of things being discussed in the barbershop. So come by and check that out, man. Listen, I'm going to leave y'all one thing. I read something a couple days ago that just kind of resonated with me. So, you know, my one piece of advice to everybody on my way out today is, man, either go for the life you want or settle for the life you get, bro. So just remember that, man. If you're not accomplishing things, ask yourself why not. Figure out what you need to do to strive for those things, man. And as you say in Louisiana, bro, laissez les bons temps rouler. Much love, much to both of you guys. And TP as well. Without him, wouldn't be here, man. And thank you guys for letting me be one of the chefs and part of the Sports City Chefs family, man. Peace.
Thanks so much, Villain. Thanks for that start earlier. I greatly appreciate you coming through, man. Villain, you know what to do, man. Give us a plug in and close out to get out of here.
Giants are the best. Listen to our show tomorrow. We'll be on the Villain versus Timeless, the cookout. So make sure you get that. The plate there, shout out to PHR Apparel, all the sponsors. You know, we're all over the place, website, blogs, interview, all that good stuff. So I don't need to say much. Harvey pretty much handled it all. Anything else I could say will be televised, I guess. I don't know. Listen, love doing the show with you. Thanks for having me. I'm out.
You know, thanks so much for coming by, Villain, man. It's a privilege and a pleasure, no doubt, man. It's your boy Sears up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here doing what I do, man, living a dream, man. And, you know, when I was a young cat, this is what I wanted to do when I grew up. You know, be behind the mic talking sports, you know, kicking it with people that, you know, I respect and love dearly. So shout out to everybody who rocks with your boy. I'm going to say this in closing, you know, and we'll get on this tomorrow, I'm sure. Those of you guys know me know I am born and raised in Pittsburgh. I am a diehard Steelers fan. I am also a Yankee fan. I'm not happy. And we'll leave it at that. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Believe me, between Villain and I, we're going to go in tomorrow on that situation. With that being said, as TP would say, tell a friend it's a chef again. And if they don't know, now we know, man. We out.
Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs. Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune. Blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom. The clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabin. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.